PowerPoint, so I don't know if it's coming up or will come up. Welcome back. This is my last time with you, and I'm going to be sad to go. But I hope that we've sown some seeds that will grow and bear some fruit in your communities, because we are operating under the umbrella of, is your church relevant in your community? So I wanted to start today with three case studies. They came from people to the Adventist Recovery Ministries in the forms of emails, and I would just like for you to think about the fact that this could be someone in your community, and would your church actually be relevant?
She's saying push something in.
Push case study number one while these awesome AV people figure out the technical stuff. This person writes, I'm a struggling Adventist with a sex addiction problem, but I do not cheat or have many girlfriends. I only date one girl. We've been dating from 2011 until now. We've decided to stop having sex because we're not married. We want to do it right after marriage, but the problem is that if I spend more time not having sex, I start to lust and watch porn. I seriously need help. If this person came to your church and shared this problem with you, what kind of help could you provide? Case study number two. My son, and these are real, they're not just made up. These are real, real people. My son is addicted to meth and heroin. I can't believe I just wrote that. Seeing it in print is so hurtful. I was raised Seventh-day Adventist, but have since married and no longer attend. My son needs godly help to escape this evil, and I thought of the Adventist church when I was thinking who to turn to in a time of crisis. Is your church relevant in your community to a person who might write this letter to your pastor? And then case study number three. Hi. I'm finding it hard to get help with my addiction. I'm an Adventist, and there's not really help in my church. Also, it seems like they just don't understand. I wish for your service in London, because I need someone Adventist and someone to truly understand my addictions and the difficulties I'm going through. Is there any possibility you could help? I'm looking forward to hearing from you. God bless. If this letter came into your church, would your church be relevant to meet the need? And that's why I've been here sharing what I'm sharing with you, because I want you to be able to say yes. Yes, my church has a place where this person can plug in and receive resources and tools and support in their journey to recovery. So yesterday, I started going through the 12 steps with you. I told my husband last night maybe I droned half of them to sleep. It was long. Today's going to be a little different. We just have two of those, and then I'm going to share some resources and materials with you, and then we're going to have the Q&A from the panel that there are some people among us who have experience with these things, and I'm very excited to introduce them to you today. So let me just have a quick prayer with us and just invite the Holy Spirit to help all of this to gel and to convict your hearts that you can do something to be relevant in your community. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these people who are faithful to come back and sit here in the afternoon when our eyelids are heavy. God, I just pray for the power of your Spirit to speak to the hearts of these people, to convict them, to give them a compassion for people in their communities like the ones who wrote these three letters to churches in their communities. Lord, we need to be relevant to the hurting world, and this is one avenue in which we can do so, in which we can reach people who would normally never set foot in a church. So God, I just pray that today as we share the resources, that you would convict hearts and that you would give courage to some folks here to step out and want to take this home and do something. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is step 10. No, this is step 11. And I don't know if you brought your little handout reconnecting back from yesterday, but this is the last in the ing, in the connecting, okay? It's the need to connect with God. So step 11 in Codependence Anonymous says, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Praying for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. As a pastor's wife, I'm often asked to pray with people and to pray for people. And I remember the day early in Andre and my marriage, a young couple came over to our home. They were in a marital crisis, and they asked us for prayer. And my husband and I listened carefully to their story, and we spoke together. And then we felt impressed that we should separate the two of them, and he speak with the husband, and I would speak with the wife privately. And so I invited the young woman into another room, and she proceeded to tell me how angry she was with her husband and how hurt she was. And after she named her pain, I asked her if I could pray together with her about it. And we knelt together, and as she began to pray, I was totally surprised by what I heard. I was actually just taken off guard, because rather than that honest, angry, hurt voice that I had just heard of the disappointed wife, I immediately heard this sweet voice praying, and it was like rehearsed, memorized phrases, including the these and the thous from the King James Bible. And it was a totally different person than the person I just spoke to. And I opened my eyes just to look, is it the same girl? But it's when she started to pray, she had a whole different voice and a whole different attitude. And she prayed for everything from her grandmother to the president and all kinds of stuff. She did not even mention to God the reason she was at my home and what she had just shared with me. It was like there was this whole thing right around here in her conversation with God, and she missed the boat as to the crux of her pain. And maybe you've experienced this. When people open their mouth to pray, it's a whole different person, whole different. I don't know. Maybe you've done this yourself. But why would we fake our way through prayer time when our hearts are breaking? Why do we do that? I think it's a form of denial. In a way, we're just not ready to go there with God, but He's the only one that can really make the difference in our situation. But we might spend the majority of our time begging God to control and change other people, but we might be ignoring our own gaping wounds in our prayer time. So this step, to me, improving our conscious contact with God, it means seeking God's face. Not just His hand, because we want Him to give us something, you know? There's a difference between seeking God's hand and seeking God's face. But we want to seek His face for the purpose of having a meaningful relationship. And God can take our anger. He can take our hurt. He can take our pain. He can handle it. And sometimes we just don't give it to Him. We'll give it to our husband or our girlfriend or, you know, we'll be happy to just blast them with it. But we really need to take that straight to God. It means being honest with God about how I really feel. So that is step 11. And I can come to God with the scriptures. And I have just been so blessed just now listening to Shelley Quinn. You know, she used some of the very same scriptures that I've used, some of the very same scriptures Melody's used this week. And that's how God speaks to me. Like, He'll layer it. I'll hear it again and again. And it's just been amazing how the Lord has done this, to just saturate us in the things that He wants us to know from His Word this week. So I can pray this. This is from the Amplified Version of Colossians 3:15. Loving Father, I am choosing to let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule or act as an umpire continually in my heart. I choose to be thankful, giving praise to God always for my situation. I invite the word spoken by Christ the Messiah to have a home in my heart, to dwell in me in all its richness as I teach, as I admonish, and as I train people in all insight and intelligence and wisdom. For those of you who plan or who have had an inkling that you might take this back to your communities, back to your church, this is a very key scripture for us as we pray this. As I teach God, and as I admonish, and as I train people in all insight, intelligence, and wisdom, I need you. I need you in me so that I can do this. The next and final step is the go step. This one tells us that we don't just take all of this knowledge and all of this healing and all of these things that God has done for us and sit on them. No. Step 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Now, folks, this step is the same in any 12-step group, whether it's Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Sexaholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous. It's the same thing. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This step is what Kyle spoke about if you were here before lunch. It's the go. It's the be an evangelist everywhere you go. It's to carry the message of the hope of what God has done for you. Jesus said, go and tell your friends and neighbors what I have done for you. And that's step 12. When I was suffering in silence as the Christian wife of a cocaine-addicted spouse, I never dreamed I'd share my story with anyone, let alone an audience. I was the person in college whose counselor said, you will not graduate with a degree if you do not take speech class. Now, I was going to be a teacher, and I can talk to little kids just fine. But speaking before my peers, I saved it until I was a senior in college, and they would not let me graduate until I took this class. So I ended up taking it with the freshmen, and I remember what I talked about. It was something about photography, but I remember my heart was pounding. I was sweaty. I was nervous. I couldn't make sense of my thoughts. Public speaking is not my forte. I am an introvert. My husband, on the other hand, he can get out there and just do it. I would much rather sit behind my computer. Now, writing, I love. I love words, and I love to write. And I don't mind hiding and writing. But to stand up and to speak and to verbalize my testimony, that's hard for me. It's not an easy thing. But I want to be obedient to Jesus. I want to do what he calls me to do. And for some reason, when people read my book, they invite me to come and share my story with their church, with their audience. And so I keep getting these invitations to come places and to talk. And every time it gets easier. And when people come to me afterward and they have tears in their eyes and they say, you know, you came here just for me. I know that I'm doing what God's asked me to do. And it is a real joy to know that you're being obedient to the will of God and that you're serving him in the way that he's given you to serve him, and that's to share your own personal experience of what he's done for you. So step 12 is a beautiful step, and you will have the opportunity to go and tell what God has done for you through the spiritual awakening that you will have as you work these steps. So Jesus says, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news to every creature, the whole human race. Friends, there is some of the human race living under our noses who will not come into our church and listen to us on a Sabbath morning. They won't do it. But those same people know that there is a higher power who they need to save them from the addiction that will kill them. Statistically, you're going to die, or you're going to be addicted for the rest of your life, non-functional. You might get out and stay clean, but the chances are slim. Without God, the chances, I believe, are none. So we have an opportunity through this program to reach people in our communities that we're not going to reach through normal evangelistic efforts. And they look strange and unusual, and they have some different ways about them. And part of what Andre likes to do is to teach a church to be open and accepting, because when we bring these people to our campus for our 12-step group, or maybe our 12-step group is in a safer place for these unchurched folks than the church campus, but eventually they will form a friendship or a bond with somebody. Eventually they will come around, and we need our church to be a safe place for them to come, where they feel accepted and loved for who they are, and where our church family can appreciate what God is doing in their lives and where he's taking them. Because Jesus loves all of us, and he doesn't look at the outside. God says, I don't look at the outward appearance. Man does that, but I'm looking at the heart. And he knows what potential these people have. And you get one or two converts who look that kind of way, on fire for Jesus and promoting your church, you're going to reach a whole new group of people in your community. And it's really amazing. So I want to end with this quote as far as going through the 12 steps with you. This is from Elizabeth Elliot, and she lost her missionary husband, Jim Elliot, to a fierce tribe in Ecuador in 1956. There's a movie. She's written some books. Amazing story. But she has written much about suffering, and she says, "We want to avoid suffering, death, sin, ashes, but we live in a world crushed and broken and torn, a world God himself visited to redeem. We receive his poured out life, and being allowed the high privilege of suffering with him, we may then pour ourselves out for others." Isn't that beautiful? So I am inviting you to pour yourselves out for others and to use a Christ-centered 12-step group as a tool or an avenue for reaching those people. And I'm not here to sell you any particular product. My husband says I just need to go ahead and develop my own product, and then I could sell you a particular product. But I don't have a program. I just have used my folks as guinea pigs, and we've tried all of them on for size. So I've gone through all of these with our people, and they all have pluses and minuses, and I don't know if you can see this. You can't. Let me see if I can show you. I'm going to just take you through each one. And how many of you knew that our church has a ministry called Adventist Recovery Ministries? Would you raise your hand if you knew that? Okay, some of you know that. I have some brochures here, and you're welcome to take one. I went to the GC session. Oh, man, I really need my PowerPoint to show up there. I need help. I do. Anyway, I grabbed a whole bunch of these last summer at the GC. I half filled a suitcase, and I spoke with the people at the table. I said, I'm promoting this ministry. I need some materials. Give me all your stuff. So they did. So you're welcome to take one of these. But we have this. It's our church's kind of best-kept secret. Sorry, guys. Adventist Recovery Ministries. And so In our church, we have this program, and it's called Journey to Wholeness. And for $39, you can get the leader's guide and a set of four workbooks. And this program will take you through 1 year of going through the 12 steps with a group. I do not suggest that you just buy this and start right away. They do provide training through the North American division. However, I looked on their website today, and it doesn't say when the next training will be. I attended the training in October of last year, and I received this binder, and I received some good information from some very knowledgeable professionals in the area of addictions. Now, I am an elementary school teacher with a degree in literacy. I don't have any trained background in clinical psychology or in addictions at all. My experience comes from my life of living with a chemically dependent person, and then my own personal experience of discovering that I also had issues in addictions and starting to attend the 12 steps for myself. These individuals, Dr. David Sedlacek, he is the program director from the Department of Discipleship and Religious Education at Andrews University. But he runs a Journey to Wholeness group for the pastors, or for the pastors-to-be, because our church realizes that every new pastor is going to go out into a community that is rampant with addiction, and they really need to understand it. Before we can understand our communities, we need to understand ourselves. So they're taking the young pastors through the Journey to Wholeness program. I'm very excited about that. And that way, pastors are coming out training, because when I go sometimes to churches, pastors don't know anything about it at all. They didn't even know we had this as a resource in our church. They're not doing anything to meet the needs. They haven't been trained. Katya Reinert, she's the director of Adventist Recovery Ministries, and she's gone to the GC with the health ministries. You may be familiar with her. Dr. Ricardo White, he is a medical doctor. He's the director of the Chemical Dependency Program at Loma Linda Behavioral Center, and he is one of the presenters for the training. And then Dwayne McBride, he has a PhD, and he is the director of the Institute for Prevention of Addictions at Andrews University. Did you know that Andrews University has an Institute for the Prevention of Addictions? So, Brother Bruce, I would like to connect you with Dwayne McBride. So I went to this training for, I don't know, it was $100 and some, and I was able to receive this binder and to receive a lot of information from these people, and I learned some things, and I would suggest that if you could go to it, that you would, but I don't think they offer it more than 2 or 3 times a year in different faraway places. So I don't think it's good to say, yes, just go start this and don't have any training yourself if you have no experience, zero experience. So today you're going to get just a little tiny bit of training, just a little overview. But I would suggest going to a local 12-step group. There's one in your community, I promise you. I can't guarantee you which one it will be. I'm almost certain there's an AA. I Googled Celebrate Recovery West Virginia, and there are several. They're often held in Baptist churches or non-denominational churches. So I would suggest that you find one and you just start attending for yourself so you can learn, so you can see, you can get used to it, get familiar with it. So this is probably the least expensive way to get started through the Adventist church, the Journey to Wholeness. So there are 12 steps and 12 months. So you just meet once a week, and this program will take you through every week what to do. All right, and then we have another one in the Adventist church. So nothing's happening, guys, huh? Okay, that's all right. I'm glad I have some hands-on things today. This, how many of you know Cherie Peters from 3ABN? Raise your hand. Have you seen her? Have you seen her program on recovery, Celebrating Life in Recovery? And she has, there's a series called Unhooked. It's a DVD series that can come along with this. I would actually recommend getting that for no matter which program you choose. It's called Unhooked, and it's people sharing their testimony of how God unhooked them from addiction, all kinds of addictions. So Cherie Peter's program is about $150 for the digital version, and get ready to choke, $299 for this. And this that you get is, you get the leader's manual. You get video clips that go through each of the steps. Now, hers does not take a year. It takes 14 weeks to get through all 12 steps. Because we were doing our program as a Sabbath school class, and we didn't have time to have 2 or 2.5 hours to meet every week, we did 2 weeks for one step. So we did it in 28 plus like a welcome Sabbath. So like 29 weeks is how long it took us to get through. The DVDs you show at the beginning, and then you do the work, and then and you have your group, and then you show a closing segment at the end. She also provides with this a USB that has everything digitally, all of the study guides. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you guys know what you're doing. All of those are digital. And if you don't want to buy the individual workbooks, you can just print them out and make copies. So everything is kind of in black and white if you want it on her program. This correlates beautifully with Steps to Christ. And she's got the recovery edition of Steps to Christ. I paid $10 a piece for these through 3ABN. I have a box of them here. If you want any, you can just make a donation to my ministry for the same amount. I'm happy to share those with you. You can use the regular Steps to Christ. When I was going through this with our Sabbath school class, I used just straight Steps to Christ, and I supplemented with it. The reason why is because really out of the 4 weeks per step, there's 1 week that's heavy on the scriptures, and the other 3 weeks don't have as much scripture. So I did a lot of supplementing and pulling in scriptures because I felt like it's a Sabbath school class. I believe in the power of the Word of God to transform lives. We need a lot of Bible. So if you decide to use Journey to Wholeness, I will send you the PDFs that I created for every week that have additional scriptures that correlate with this. I'll be happy to give that to you. So that's 14 weeks, celebrating life in recovery, $300. But it's worth it. It's very nice, very well done, excellent resources and materials. And so now that I have my, yes, used it, great. We loved it. Our group really enjoyed. Okay, so I'm going to show you this. I just did some screenshots today. This is Adventist Recovery Ministries website, and this is where they talk about their training, but they don't actually say when their next training is. So you have to keep checking back, I guess. I'm going to call them and find out what's up. This one, oopsie. Okay, that's with the Unhooked DVD, it's $69.95. So you get the leader's binder, you get 4 workbooks, and then the Unhooked for $70. And then each of your participants would need a set of these. And so that's about $28, I think, for one set. So it's not totally cost prohibitive. Little less than the other one. This 3ABN has some, if you Google recovery resources on 3ABN, now these are not high quality videos, but you can actually get a sample and watch some of the programs from Cherie Peter's Celebrating Life in Recovery. So let me see, these are, I don't know why the screenshots came out so bad, but it's a way for you just to kind of browse and look and see if you're interested, if you like it or not. The some of the titles, let's see, 5 Things About Early Recovery, Generational Healing, Self-Mutilation, making healthy choices, alcoholism, road to sobriety. So these are actual programs. You can get the transcripts, you can watch the videos, and you can just see what's available through 3ABN. So these are all recovery resources from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I think it's wonderful that we have it, but I think it's our church's best kept secret. So the first year that we met, we did this, Journey to Wholeness. The second round that we went through the 12 steps with our 12-step Sabbath School class, we did Celebrating Life in Recovery. Then we did Celebrate Recovery. Now, Celebrate Recovery is not a Seventh-day Adventist program. Andre and I have both been to their training in Orlando with a group of Seventh-day Adventist pastors. I understand that they ran this program at Collegedale Adventist Church at one time, and several Adventist churches around the country use it. It's excellent. It is very Bible-based, and it's the same idea. There are four participants' guides, and they have lots of DVD resources, lots of training resources. When we started our Sabbath school, our people were scared. They were nervous. They didn't feel comfortable, and they didn't want to talk. They'd been hurt in church. They were fearful of gossip. We had a table, kind of a long table with chairs around it in our learning center, and then along the walls were chairs lining the outside of the walls. We use it as a food pantry. You know, it's a multi-purpose building. It took several weeks for people to even want to physically come to the table and sit around the table. Like, they would come in and just sit back here against the wall. When they finally all physically came to the table, it took about 6 months before people really started feeling safe to share and be transparent. That's a long time. I was starting to get discouraged. I'm like, you know, we're just tiptoeing up here. And I knew it, but all I could do was pray and model, and I modeled, and I modeled, and it was difficult, and, you know, I was transparent. I mean, I'm the pastor's wife. People think I'm going to go tell my husband their business. It was, I just had to keep modeling, and later, I had people come, like a year later, and say, yes, I've been watching your group. I want to come, but I've been watching to see if anything would leak out, if anybody would be gossiping. And if they did, I wasn't going to come. But I haven't heard anything, haven't seen anything. I'm coming. It took a long time to get people to talk. So I used to help with this, because I'd been to the Celebrate Recovery training, I used the testimonies from this resource, the Celebrate Recovery Bible, because they have lots and lots of testimonies that correlate with Bible stories of real modern people who have an issue. And so these people have been very transparent. They've allowed their testimony to be published. And so I would use this, and I would share testimonies from this Bible to get my people used to hearing what it sounds like to be authentic, to be transparent. Because I only have so many problems. I didn't have problems to address all the needs, even though I was being authentic and transparent. So, you know, as I shared testimonies from this Bible, it addressed different things. It would address alcoholism. It would address drug addiction or pornography addiction or food addiction. You know, some of the others. So this is a good resource. Sometimes people get terrified if they see Forward by Rick Warren. And there is nothing in any of the Celebrate Recovery resources that is doctrinal, okay? It's all just Bible applying to the 12 steps. So this is another resource that is available, but if your church community is very stringent about sticking to Adventist-only materials, we've got stuff. It's fine. So These materials you can get for a fairly decent price, although if you get every single thing, it's about the same amount as Cherie Peters. You know, you're investing about $300 or something like that. So that's basically what I brought that I'm aware of that are Christ-centered 12-step groups. And then while I'm just sharing resources, because my ministry, Relevant Life Solutions, I try to plug people into Relevant Life Solutions. And I encourage churches to have things available. So I just want to plug this. I met this lady at the Emotional Health Seminar. Her name is Karen Nicola. She, her ministry is to help people deal with grief. And so she has a whole ministry that has resources for people who are grieving. And our church purchased a pile of her books, their Comfort for the Day, and their Living Through the Seasons of Grief. And it's a journal with scriptures that help people work through their grief. Well, when someone dies in our community or in our church, we can write a note inside this and say, you know, with love from the Orange Cove Seventh-day Adventist Church, we're here for you in your time of grief, and, you know, share our phone numbers. It's a gift that we can give. They don't have to be a member of our church, but this is a wonderful way to reach into our community and be relevant to hurting people and share scriptures with them. So I just like to have this here and show you, and I can connect you with her stuff. And then Dr. David Sedlacek at Andrews, he and his wife have put together this beautiful resource called Cleansing the Sanctuary of the Heart. It's very spiritual, very deep, and it teaches people how to work through forgiveness and emotional healing in a very deep way. So these are also resources through Adventist authors. If you Google Codependence Anonymous, you can find some great resources from them. I have the 12-step handbooks, Establishing Boundaries in Recovery from Codependence Anonymous. There's lots of resources out there once you just open your eyes and start looking around for things. So that's basically what I have for materials. Now I'm going to quickly just show you how we run our group. And I'm going to invite some people up here to model. This time might be going faster than I want it to. This, I put together a little binder. It's not a hard cover. It's like those soft binders with the plastic sleeves where you insert things. And I have those, a whole bunch of them that I put together, and we just put them out around the table when we're going to have our group. And they have in order the way that we do things. So this is the first thing. It's a welcome. I share this, or I ask somebody to read this. Welcome to our recovery group. Our group's purpose is to allow and promote persons ample opportunity of coming to a position of processing or dealing with their own dysfunction in a highly supportive, safe, and caring environment without imposition of another solution to their problem. I gave you all a handout today. It's a little half sheet with my name on it, and it's got a place for you to give your information. If you fill that out and give that to me, I will happily email you the PDFs for all of these slides, and you can have them to photocopy and just use. Or I can even send you the Word document, and then you can change it to fit your needs. Ellen White says in Steps to Christ, if Christians would associate together, speaking to each other of the love of God and the precious truths of redemption, their own hearts would be refreshed, and they would refresh one another. In AA, they call it sharing our strength and our hope. But it's the same vision that Ellen White had, coming together and sharing. So the leader's goal is to share experience, strength, and hope gently, to provide an atmosphere of example, of acceptance, and of confidentiality. And that's an atmosphere that sometimes hasn't been provided in our churches, and that's why people are afraid. So don't be surprised if your people are terrified initially. But our goal is to continually draw attention to God's matchless love for us and our newfound identity when we surrender our lives to Christ. So that's the welcome. And then the very first week we meet, or before we meet, I hand this out and I say, read it. If you're in agreement with it and you want to sign and date it, then you can participate in our group. If you choose not to be participating in this covenant, you're not invited to the group. I know that might sound harsh, but I believe that we need to commit in writing to covenanting to one another that we are going to be confidential. So the covenant of affirmation, I will love you and affirm you no matter what you have said or done. I love you as you are and for what Christ wants to make of you. I will respect you by not dominating the discussion, but I will allow everyone to participate. Number two, the covenant of availability. And we make this covenant with each other in the group. I will prayerfully make myself available to the members of this group as the Holy Spirit leads. Number three, the covenant of regularity and punctuality. I covenant to give a regular part of my time to this group when it decides to meet. I consider that time to be a high priority on my schedule, and I will seek to be on time for each session. Number four, the covenant of prayer. I promise to pray for you, to uphold you, and to attempt to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit concerning your needs. The covenant of openness. I will show myself to you, letting you know who I am as a person in feeling, history, hopes, and hurts. In other words, I will need you. The covenant of honesty. I will be honest in my mirroring back to you what I sense and feel coming from you. And number seven, the covenant of confidentiality. What goes on in this group stays here. I will say nothing that may be traced back or that could be injurious or embarrassing to my covenant partners. And number eight, the covenant of accountability. You have a right to expect growth from me so that I may give you the fullness of the gifts which God has bestowed upon me and fulfill my God-created designs. Therefore, I will not languish in the process of growth. I will do my best to work through the materials and come prepared to participate. And then they sign and date to the best of my ability, and with God's help, I will uphold the above covenants and commit to being a regular, faithful, involved, caring member of this recovery group. Now, those are high expectations and standards, and this is one thing that does make us different than a traditional AA group, because AA is completely anonymous. You can come and go whenever you want. If you skip meetings, you skip meetings, and, you know, no one's going to chase you down or make, you know. But this is a little bit different, and I have found that inside an Adventist church with an Adventist group starting out as a Sabbath school, I found this was very important. And I sadly have had to speak with people and uninvite them because of breach of confidence or, you know, something that's not healthy for the group. And sometimes we have to do that in a loving way, or, you know, extend the invitation for when we start next round, you're welcome to come back. But sometimes we have to set a boundary, because if our group isn't safe, people won't come, and we kill what we're trying to start. Okay, so this is our schedule for Sabbath school. It's just a model, but I start with a video clip, something on addictions, a little piece of The Unhooked, a little piece of Cherie Peters, a little piece of Jennifer Jill Schwarzer. I don't know if you know who she is, but she's got a DVD called 7 Deadly Psychological Sins. We just show one of those. They were for sale at the ABC, but they're all gone now. Anyway, I just start with that because it's a non-threatening way to begin, and people who are running a little bit late can come in and the discussion hasn't started, the prayer hasn't started. So that's a way that I start. And then after the video clip, we do welcome, we introduce ourselves, and my team that's going to come up here and model for you will show you how that's done. We have a circle of prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that I'm not the only person who should pray in that group. And so some people that have come, they're not used to praying out loud. They haven't grown up in a Christian home. They haven't seen prayer modeled. So for those of us who have a working relationship with God, it's good for them to see and hear us pray. But it's also good for us to allow them an opportunity to pray. Now, they can pass, say amen if you don't want to pray, but we go around the whole circle. Everybody has an opportunity to pray, and I have some guidelines about the prayer that I'll show you in just a minute. Then we read through the 8 principles come with Celebrate Recovery, or the 12 steps. We read through those steps and the biblical comparisons. That is a handout that I gave to you earlier, and the way that we do it, we go around the table. One person reads the step, and we all say the scripture together. Next person reads step two. We all say the scripture. So we get those scriptures memorized by the end of going through the steps. And then we have our guidelines, and we read those as the group every time, because sometimes we have new people coming in, and then we focus on our principle or topic, whatever our lesson's about. And then we have our sharing time. And then we close with the Lord's Prayer. So that's just a model, and I'm, again, happy to share with you all of that. So these are our guidelines for our group share. Number one, we keep our sharing focused on our own thoughts and feelings. We limit our sharing to 3 to 5 minutes. I don't know if you've been in church or prayer meeting where one person dominates the whole conversation or the whole prayer time. They take 100 years and then nobody else gets to say anything. As a leader of a group, you cannot allow this to happen. Every person who comes needs the opportunity to share. And I found that it's very difficult. For me and my personality, I have a hard time being the controller of the time. So what I did was purchase those egg timers. They're like sand that you turn the little thing upside down and the sand flows through. So I purchased those, and I got enough for everybody to have one. So when it's our turn to share, we flip it over. We're responsible for our own time, okay? And I remind them, you know, we only have so many minutes. Everybody needs a chance to share. Make sure you're mindful. But then they're responsible for it, and that's worked well for us. Okay, so we focus on a person's own thoughts and feelings. It keeps the sharing short. We eliminate crosstalk and keep the person sharing from wandering to other people's problems or non-group related topics. It's very focused what we're sharing on. It's important to share our own experience and accept what another says without comment. So when we share, we're not asking for feedback. We're just sharing. It's their truth at this time. So don't give advice. Do not attempt to rescue or criticize the person. Assume responsibility for your own feelings, your own thoughts and behaviors. You speak for yourself only, and it allows healing for the entire group over time. And some people just don't get this. They do not get this. Our first response is to want to just comment back or to tell someone what they're supposed to do or not do. But that's not the purpose of this type of sharing. The purpose is to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to a person that they can verbalize and articulate what they're going through, what they need help with, what they're working on, what step they're dealing with, or whatever. And as they do that, God actually uses that opportunity to speak to them. We don't have to do this speaking. They're in a place where they're listening, where they're safe. They share, and it's amazing what God does in those times. And when we listen to one another, we also learn from each other as we share. So, and then the last one, be mindful of the time. It's frustrating for other people to miss an opportunity to share because someone else spoke for a long time, like me right now. Number two, there will be no crosstalk. Crosstalk is when two individuals engage in conversation, excluding all others. Each person is free to express his or her feelings without interruptions. So we do not allow, if someone's sharing, we are not allowing any side conversation over here with two other people. Nobody's on their phone. Nobody's passing notes. Like, you look at the person, you give them your full respect, eye contact, and you're listening. And for some people, this is the only time in the week that anyone even listens to what they have to say at all. Very important. So crosstalk includes interrupting, adding to someone's story, offering advice. Crosstalk can be identified as someone saying, even when it's their turn to share, well, I can relate to you because blah, blah, blah. Or I can't relate to you because whatever. Commenting on what someone said, even asking questions, all of that is eliminated in this type of group. If this guideline is abused, someone could get very hurt and give up altogether on recovery. Guideline three, we're here to support one another, not fix one another. Acknowledge that God is in charge of our recovery. Be aware of the Holy Spirit's presence and pray for his guidance and wisdom as we take each step together. As I said yesterday, it's not us and them, it's us together. We all have wonderful intentions, and we want to share all the wisdom we've gained. Many times, however, a person is not in the proper emotional state to even hear us or understand. We have to let the Holy Spirit be the speaker into that person's life. Be supportive of other members. Don't try to fix them. God is the great healer. Let him do the healing. And then anonymity and confidentiality, basic requirements. What's shared in the group stays in the group. The only exception is when someone threatens to injure themselves or others. It can be very hurtful to discover that someone's sharing is being discussed outside of the group time. Most of the people in recovery have never been able to tell their secret, and they need to be assured that this is a safe place to do it. Avoid gossip. Share your own journey, hurts, and addictions, not the journey of others, regardless of whether or not they are in our group. I'll just share this very briefly. Someone from our group shared, and then they were in potluck line together with someone else from our group, and another person from the group asked the person a question in the potluck line within the hearing of other people about what they shared. That caused a big problem. It made a stink. It caused hurt feelings. Someone called me about it and said, blah, 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 we can't do this. And it's true. We can't do this. And it's very important that we establish these as leaders beforehand, before anything bad happens. People have to know when we're in that time and that space, that's when we talk about this. If we see each other in the grocery store or later in church or whatever, we're not talking about the sharing. Does that make sense? Okay. Offensive language, no place in a Christ-centered recovery group. We just say that up front, okay? And the last one, I'll just say why. Many of us grew up hearing or using offensive language, and it can be a painful trigger to some people in the group, and we just don't allow it. Number six, sharing related to sexual addictions takes place in same-sex groups only. It refrains from being graphic so as not to give invitation for lust. And I am a firm believer that men and women need to share separately. Celebrate Recovery insists they do not allow mixed sharing groups over here. The Adventist training, they don't say anything about it either way. I just feel like unhealthy bonds can happen between people when sharing takes place. And I also find that people won't open up. The men won't open up if women are there. The women won't open up if men are there. So if you really want to have your group be healthy and dynamic, separate the men and the women for the sharing. Now, what we do, because we're a Sabbath school class, we come together, we study the lesson, we talk about the steps or the study together, and then when it comes to the open share time, we separate men and women. All right, I do want to leave some time, and I really want to thank the people. This is the last one. Just come prepared. We invite people. Come prepared. Read ahead. Do your journaling. Fill out your guide and pray for the Holy Spirit. So those are our guidelines. Thank you very much to all the recovery friends that I found this week. And come on up. I've already talked to you. Come find a seat up front. I'm going to let you introduce yourselves. You guys, you have a wealth of resource right under your nose, and you didn't even know it. So I'm excited to have these folks introduce themselves, and then we are going to take some questions from you. Now, I might not be the expert, but they're going to introduce themselves, and I want you to do it, if you don't mind, like you would introduce yourselves in group. So you're going to share your issue. Are you comfortable with that, and shall we turn off the recording? How do you feel, people? Do you need to remain anonymous? Do you mind being recorded? You're okay? Okay. So you're going to introduce yourself like you would in group. And then I want you just to tell the folks here what's your association with recovery, okay? What's your area of expertise or how do you know about it? Just briefly. And then we're going to take some questions from you. And then we'll close up, hopefully have a little time to model the sharing group. So we'll just start right down here.
I'm Constance Southerly. And I have a connection personally with codependency, and then professionally, I became familiar with AA and NA groups and codependent groups when I was working with alcoholics and drug addicts as my field of choice after I studied to be become an art therapist back in the early in the 70s and 80s. I did a lot of training of counselors who worked in the field in the state of Delaware. Programs that were, there was a lot of money dumped into NIDA, National Institute of Drug Abuse, in those years, and a lot of trainings that were then done all over the country.
Thank you.
My name is Betty Gareth, and I have a daughter who is in recovery for alcohol. She's coming up to, they call it a birthday because they feel when you go into recovery and you stop drinking, she's coming up to her sixth birthday in July, and I'm so happy because I really believe if it wasn't for AA, she wouldn't be alive at this time. She worked in a club, and of course they buy drinks for the ladies, and she became an alcoholic, and she didn't know how she got home a lot of times, how she drove her car home, where she was, and we tried to encourage her to go to AA. She lives out west, and she didn't tell us. Well, they say you have to hit bottom before you will go to AA and look for help, and she did hit bottom. She was mean to a customer when she was drunk, and she got fired. And then she started going to AA. For a long time, she didn't think she needed AA. And then she finally told us after, I forget how long she was going. I said, wow, so great. And we have such a better relationship with each other. Because when she was drinking and I would go to visit her, she would get drunk and she would go out with her friends. And it was very sad because we always had a beautiful relationship. She's my firstborn daughter. And I started going to AA meetings with her because I'll tell you what, if you have anyone with an addiction, this was alcohol, it really helps you to understand where they're coming from if you go to AA with them. And they go around the circle, and you can share if you want, and you don't have to share. And I would always say, I'm Betty, I'm here to listen, because I did not have that addiction. And I tell you what, I heard some very sad stories. And I think it's good, even if you don't have a person who's an alcoholic close in your proximity, in your family or whatever. Like Juliet said, go to AA meetings. They welcome everybody. Mm-hmm. They don't say, hey, who are you? And go and just listen. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, you might think you have some problems. You go to an AA meeting, and they lost everything. Family, children, job. And I used to say, well, just don't drink. Well, see, I don't understand that because it's not a temptation to me. And they would lose everything. You'd think, well, if they loved you, they'd stop drinking. Well, it's just not that simple, as you know. And I just am so thankful for AA. And then my daughter encouraged me to go to Al-Anon, which is for friends and family of alcoholics or drug addicts. So I go regularly every Tuesday morning. My group is in Fairmont, West Virginia, and I go to my Al-Anon group, and it's very encouraging. It's all ladies. Once in a while, a gentleman comes. I've been to Al-Anon meetings where there's a mixed group, but they're at night, and I don't drive well at night, so I go on Tuesday morning to Fairmont, and I go to my group, and they encourage you to get a sponsor because they want you to go through the steps.
That's right.
And my daughter said, Mom, it would really free you up if you went through your steps. Mm-hmm. And You take a really sharp look at yourself. You admit where you have faults, and sometimes that's pretty tough. So I am very thankful for AA and Al-Anon, I have to say. And like I said, there are many Al-Anon meetings. There's one in Buckhannon on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at the Chapel Hill Church. I don't go to that one because I like to go to prayer meeting at our church. So I drive to Fairmont on Tuesday. There are those in Clarksburg, Morgantown, and I'm not sure where else. I guess you can go online. Hope I'm not taking too much time.
We better pass the mic, okay. But I'm really thankful for what
you've shared. But go to an AA meeting. You will be amazed, and it will really help to understand addictions much more. And then if you have a loved one or a close friend, go to Al-Anon. It's just wonderful. I'm very thankful.
Thank you.
I'm thankful you came.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Jane, and
Hi, Jane.
I come from a very alcoholic family, both my parents, and of the four children, I'm the only one who doesn't drink. Therefore, as the oldest and therefore the savior of the family, I have a master's in substance abuse counseling. So I am a codependent with all of the issues that were mentioned by Juliet, and food addict, specifically sugar. And what I currently do, though, is work in the CHIP program, helping people with food addictions and the issues, although I'm really excited with the concept of adding programs like this from an Adventist because the AA, Al-Anon and ACOA and stuff, I've attended those, but not recently. Wonderful programs, and if that's all you can do, wonderful. But the idea of having the Christ-centered aspect in your program, which is what kind of made me not so much want to always attend the meetings that were available, the power that would be there with a Christ-centered 12-step group is something that I think we should really strive for.
Amen. Thank you.
My name is Diane, and I'm a recovered alcoholic and addict.
Hi, Diane.
And I say recovered because I went to AA and NA for years and years. I was incarcerated, the whole gamut, but until I was saved and let the Lord help me, none of it worked. But it does give you an extreme good foundation. I lived in Elkins for a really long time, and I had the opportunity to sponsor people and work through the steps with people after I did that to start with. But people in my church are very loving. When I first started coming to the church, I still went out 2 more times drinking. And it's always hard for someone to go back to somewhere because they're embarrassed. But I went ahead and went, and everybody just had so much love and kindness. I wasn't judged. There's a lady, I call her my angel, come to my mom's apartment twice, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm drunk, crying. My mom's all worried about me and everything. And she would stay there and pray and talk with us and then go to work for about 12 hours. And just people, I love my church.
Amen.
And I could tell you stories about every member that's helped me or has been a part of my life.
Amen.
So, but the 12 steps did help. But the Lord kind of overrides everything for me.
Amen. That's right. Thank you for sharing.
Hi, I'm Paul, an alcoholic and an addict.
Right up with
you. Oh. So, hi, I'm Paul.
Hi, Paul.
I guess what I could say is I've been in and out of the 12-step program for a long time. I've got probably around 16 years of being clean and sober. After going to prison was the last final thing. Sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes you have to allow people to face that, you know. So praise the Lord for that. But I've been in church for quite a while and fell in love with Jesus after I got, before I went to prison, actually. And when I got out, I just loved the Lord, was working for the church as a deacon, you know, involved, became an elder, even now a head elder in the church. And there was just something missing as well. The 12th step of reaching out and helping others, for me, became a passion, as I can tell it is for Juliet and Andre as well. And it's a real blessing to be able to take that to others. So I wanted to start something in our church and heard about Celebrating Life and Recovery. So I kind of went with that program, wonderful program. We went through that twice. So we have a 12-step program in our church. It's Monday nights at 7
sure,
o'clock.
What church you're in?
Berkeley Springs, Seventh-day Adventist Church. They've allowed us to use the room. I actually sponsored, that's how I met Juliet, was we went to mental health in Orlando, I think, earlier this year, January, I believe. And it was a wonderful program. David Sulichek, I went to his workshop program. It was a real blessing. And we kind of did a 12, just what it was like to do a 12-step program as well. But now we have Journey to Wholeness, and we're going through the 12-step program. And it's a year program. Mm-hmm. But not when we started that in advertising, you know, you want it for your church. And praise the Lord, you know, that we do have a loving church. It is very important to have that. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that I've noticed is having a safe place to go. Because a lot of times it's not safe to actually come to church because of the open up talking and sharing things that shouldn't be shared, you know. And I like the rules that you put up there; a little different than we implement, but wonderful rules. And we do that, and people feel safe and open up and share their hurts. And a lot of times, you know, the drinking, the drugs, and the alcohol, for me, was an outward expression of something deeper. And you get to know people that really are hurting inside. Hurt people. Mm-hmm. And realizing that when somebody hurts you, you know that they need help. They're hurting. So I guess I have a passion for that too. So I'm very glad to see you guys come up here and do that. And our program is doing well. I was surprised to see after presenting the program and the word getting out that so many Adventists would call and want to come back in recovery, and they just want, and they hide a lot of that stuff because it's like they would rather go to an AA meeting than come to the church or an NA meeting because they don't feel safe. So I feel that every church should have a safe place.
That's right.
Implement a 12-step program and those rules that she just went through, because people need to know it's okay to come back. And eventually they'll come back into church, but they need a safe place to come right now. So,
amen.
Thank you for letting me share.
So, yes. I just want to say you have a person in your conference who's running a 12-step group in their Adventist church. So that's one that I know of.
Yeah.
And this is now the second time to go through a program. I don't know if you'd be willing to, you know, work together on sharing the resources that you have, but this is a great go-to person for you all. Okay.
I was just going to say, we begin every AA Al-Anon meeting with the Serenity Prayer, because people might say, well, they don't talk about God. They do talk about God. And at the end, everybody holds hands, gets in a big circle, and recites the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
And I just felt when I went to AA meetings, there are very large ones in Las Vegas where my daughter lives, and there's just so much love there.
That's,
I mean,
right.
They just, nobody judges anybody because they've all been down at the bottom. So it's just so much love I felt in those AA meetings and
sure.
Al-Anon. So just go and experience it. It's just, it's worth it.
It is worth it. This is what I want to do. Because it's 5:15, I'm going to have a closing prayer. And those people that really want to go, you're welcome. But if you want to stay and ask questions of the panel and kind of get to learn a little bit more, I'd like to, you know, be here as long as you need us to be. I don't know how long these people want to hang out. But let's have a closing prayer. And then those of you who want to ask questions, I really want you to be able to do that. Father in heaven, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for inspiring us. Thank you for the stories that we just now heard of how you give victory over drugs, over alcohol, over food addictions, over other addictions. God, it's you. And I just pray that you will go with us as we go home and that we can be relevant in our communities. Lord, thank you for the people like Brother Paul Singleton and his wife who have been bold to step out and start something. And I just pray that you will continue to bless their ministry and their mission field. In Jesus' name, amen. So who's got a question? We have a roving mic for you.
Hello. Yes. I would like to know where I can find Overeating Anonymous in Charleston. I have a grandson that is way, way overweight. He's 19, and he needs some help desperately.
You're asking if there is an Overeaters Anonymous?
In Charleston, for my grandson, he's 19, and he's between 300 and 400 pounds. And he's just depressed all the time and rebellious and can't get a job or anything.
I don't know where particular resources are in West Virginia. I looked, I just kind of Googled for Celebrate Recovery, and I found, let's see, I can't even tell. You know, these are general. They're not overeaters. So it says something about in Clarksburg and Chestnut Ridge and I don't know where else. But I bet if you Googled, you could find something. I don't know if it'd be specifically overeaters, but the 12 steps apply to any issue. Are there any other questions out there? We got one up front. Did you want to answer that question? Right. Go on.
If you don't mind, I noticed that going to a 12-step program, you can go to a 12-step program even though it don't pinpoint the specific overeaters. You can still go to a 12-step program and just use your. That's what we do. I mean, it covers everything within that group because the group we have on Monday nights is it covers drugs, alcohol, overeaters. So it covers everything. It's a 12-step program. It will work because it's all based on steps to Christ. So,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay.
Let me just quick answer that because, believe it or not, I had an overeating problem, and I would eat, and I would just feel so full and so angry, and I prayed and prayed, Lord, help me, please help me, and I prayed, and then when I would be eating, that little voice would say, you had enough, and if I listened to the voice, I was okay. But if I overrode that little voice and kept eating, then I would feel so full. And then a friend of the family said, my wife had trouble with overeating, and here's what she does. She never, ever takes seconds. Even at potluck, you take what you're going to eat and don't take seconds. And I'll tell you, that worked for me, and it can work for you. Yeah, and even if you're tempted, oh, I just want a little more. You know what? You're going to eat again in a few hours. It's not like it's your last meal. No, don't take seconds. That is what helped me the most. And I never, ever, since I read Counsels on Diet and Foods, eat between meals. I eat my meals. That's it.
Thank you. Question right here.
I feel that I have the problem. I have two brothers. One is into drugs, and he's been in and out of jail. Right now he's back in. And the other brother has some other issues. I don't want to mention it, but even though I'm not the one with the problems, I don't know that I'm enabling or lack of enabling because I think I could help. I don't want the news to get out that he's in jail, that he's doing drugs. I'm thinking there's something I can do to prevent it. So I guess I'm still one that has a problem too.
I would suggest Al-Anon. They have a support community for people who love someone who's very loving support community. If there is nothing in your church, it's a beautiful place to start. Mm-hmm. Did you want to say something to that?
Did you get the information that Juliet handed out about codependence? That would be very helpful.
Okay. I think there may be some of those checklists on the back table. But often there are places very close to us that can meet our needs, and we don't even know about them. So I would just suggest do a little research about what's already happening around you and where can you go to plug in. Another question?
This question's for Paul. Actually, I have two questions, Paul. One is, you use the Celebrate Recovery and you use the Adventist series. Did you find one better than the other in relationship to your community? And my second question is, if you held these in the church, did you find a difficulty getting people from other churches to be able to come? Was that a barrier because it was sponsored by Seventh-day Adventists? So I guess that's two questions I had for you.
I just wanted to clarify something. Do you use Celebrating Life in Recovery?
Yes,
right?
Celebrating
See,
Life.
This is Adventist.
Oh, okay.
The Celebrate Recovery is not, but I think he used the Cherie Peters one the first time.
Yes, that's correct. We did use the Adventist material both times. And Celebrating Life and Recovery was very well. It's so easy to do. And I think that's maybe why I went with it. It's so
yes.
When you get it, it just takes you step by step. Anybody can do it. Okay, anybody that wants to really has a passion for that. You can just show the video, open it up for discussion, and it's a real blessing. I think that kind of the Lord opened the door for us to do that, just for us to get familiar with it. And then I've heard a lot more within a group. The Journey to Wholeness is really getting to the root of what it was. Because I hope you heard some of what I said, at least. So Journey to Wholeness is more, from our group, seem to like it more because it's getting more into it. And it's up to the individual as well, but they're getting more into realizing that there's a deeper problem within. It's not just the outward, I'm eating or I'm doing drugs, and they can fall in the same category because it makes me feel good. Now, is that really what I want to do, is feel good? Where did it begin then? You know, I mean, for me, I can go back to when I first drank a beer, I was 5 years old. I still remember, I was thinking of that today, that I still remember, and the taste on a hot summer day, you know, it still comes back even after so long, and I realized that I'm not that person anymore. But, you know, you got to go, it goes deep in, you know, it's like, where did this all begin? Why do I feel like this? So now, an alcoholic like me, I transferred to marijuana, then I transferred to cocaine, and now it's very easy for me to use food, sweets, sugar, so being an addictive personality, I've got to be very careful how I do that and realize it's deeper. You know, it's an outward expression of something really deep that's going on in me. And others seem to think that the Journey to Wholeness is really in deeper program. So, but they're both wonderful programs. I've heard a few people say, I drove by seeing your sign, and I drove by and seen it, 12-step. Multiple times. The whole program that we went for Celebrating Life, we did it two times, went through that. She drove up and down that road. We started a kickoff for a new program, Journey to Wholeness, and then she came. And she says, I just, like, something was telling me to come. So it's up to, you know, it's just, you got to wait and be patient. I mean, it's just, I think, being there for them when they're ready. And there was another person that come too, works in a bar. She said, here, I got a, you know, a serving alcohol. And she came in finally and said she'd seen it, the same story, seen that, grab up and down the road, then eventually came, you know, so.
Thank you.
We can only take one more question. Camp Ranger says there's a storm coming. It'll be here 20, 25 minutes, and they got to close everything down. But here's the one more question over here.
This is a comment for a couple of other materials. Dr. David DeRose has been working with Weimar and Dr. Nedley and has some excellent materials on addiction that our local Substance Abuse Coalition in the county has found useful. Secondly, if you're dealing with food addictions, Dr. McDougall has a lot of testimonies on his websites for food addiction of various kinds that are very excellent.
Thank you so much for your comment. Thank you, panel, for your expertise. The higher uppers have put the time out on us, but we're still in camp here, and Andre and I aren't leaving until tomorrow, and I think these people may be around. So feel free to mingle, sit together at the cafeteria, have some conversations, and I've got some stuff up here if you want anything that I have. Thank you so much, everybody. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Juliet. Thank you, Juliet.